You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Happy Thursday to you. Best day of the week.
Yeah.
By far. Always. Yeah.
You know, as much as we love our job, these are long weeks sometimes, right?
Well, I think they fly by. Well, I don't know how you see it.
Okay. Todd, you should have had the mics on before we went on the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were just talking about all the stuff we've got to get done today. So.
Wow. Today's National Whiskey Day.
That
did not know that.
Makes it a better day.
It was this planned? It's National Whiskey Day and National Viagra Day. How do those two have anything in common? It's Theater Day, which you should like.
Love it.
Major League Baseball opening day.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Where are we playing?
The Brewers. Yankees.
Not here, though? No.
No. Todd, who's doing that game?
Well, we are.
No. But I mean, we had a thing. I'll wait till Todd gets back at his thing. About, aren't we having a special announcement? Isn't it going to be, who is it? Isn't like somebody coming out of retirement or something to broadcast that game?
I don't know.
No? Okay. I don't know. No, I thought I heard
see that now. Brewers at New York Yankees.
Yeah.
1:30. And that's broadcast right here.
On WISS. Absolutely.
All right.
Which is fantastic. Really cool. Once again, happy Thursday to you, man. I got to be honest with you. Did you see that forecast for the weekend?
Yeah.
And early next week?
Yeah.
Like 2 inches of ice. They're not even saying inch and a half of snow. They're saying inch and a half of ice.
I didn't see that.
Mm. Yeah. It was not pleasant. Did you see that, Todd?
Yeah, I was looking at it.
Like it's like you're at that point now. It's spring.
Well, today and tomorrow are going to be, you know.
Yeah.
And then.
So unbelievable.
Well, you won't be jogging outside then, huh?
I still might.
I'm going to buy spikes on
trackers.
Mm-hmm. Hey, how do you balance your day now with baseball and basketball?
You know, I'm not a big baseball guy.
Oh.
I mean, I'm sorry, I love baseball. I mean, I follow, but you know, some of these people, you know, it's 162 games. I mean, I will never miss an NFL game. I won't miss a good college game. But 162 times, I'm getting too excited. I kind of, it's fun. It's a cool thing. It's one of those cool things because every day almost something is happening. You know, like we always say in football, you play a game, then you spend the next 6 days talking about it.
Right.
Baseball, you got it almost every single day. So that part's great. But as far as some of these people I know, they will listen to literally every game. 162 games.
So there's a record that's going to be broken this year, right? I mean, the out of the 162 games, the most a team ever won is, what, 111 or something?
Right around 12? That, yeah.
And that guy said from the Dodgers, we're going to win 120 games. We're going to win 120
games. I
wouldn't
be shocked.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it, to see somebody win?
Well, but it also shows, though, as far as the money. I mean, they got billions and billions and billions.
Yeah.
And then you got the Brewers trying to compete with them. And that's the cool thing about the Brewers, though, man. I mean, think about that with the Dodgers over the last few years. They've taken it down to, like, you know, the last inning, winner takes all type stuff. And I give the Brewers, you say what you want about Anastasio and that whole bunch. I give them all the credit in the world for their budget, what they've done against the Dodgers of the world.
Yeah, I know that they wish they had the NFL.
And the Mets of the world.
They wish they had the NFL contract because it would be like, you know, the Giants or the Jets buying all the players and us. But now we can all spend what is the salary cap? 180? 190?
In the NFL?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I have no idea.
But
I don't pay attention. To me, that is so bizarre. Like, I was watching a thing with Charles Barkley yesterday, and he was I like Barkley. He was talking about, with the new TV contract, guys are going to be making like $85 to $100 million a season. Individual guys. And you know what their big thing is? I'm going to sit this one out. I got workload. He's like, man, you got the greatest job in the world.
Right.
In the world.
Doing what you love to do, making
and
that kind of money.
And you got these people, hardworking people, Because, you know, the ticket prices are going to go up.
Yes.
And they're coming out there and they're paying all this money to see LeBron or whomever. It's like, oh, he's making $100 million, but he's a little sore. He's sitting out.
It's weird that there hasn't been, you know, like not a revolution, but more pushback on ticket prices because it's just to have someone $85 million. I mean, people won't make $3 million in their whole life.
Yeah.
And these guys are making it in what, hours, weeks, whatever that comes
to. It's mind-boggling. But they can't play. They got load management issues. Oh, I hate LeBron James. I despise him and his kid.
Well,
but anyway.
Didn't he have a really good game last night? I read something this morning.
I was watching a Bucks game until I fell asleep. Did they end up losing that game to the Nuggets?
I'm not sure.
It was a really good game. They're going without Giannis. And, of course, with Lillard with that blood clot. Two guys in the NBA, young guys. Both out with blood clots. How does that happen?
That's very weird. 117 to 127, Denver. One.
What? That's young.
Yeah. I mean, the most physically fit human beings
probably
in the world.
And active, you know?
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
And you get blood clots? Both of them? That's scary. That's like weird, isn't it?
That's very weird. Wow.
Then the big story yesterday about former Packer. Did you see that? LaShawn Johnson, former Packer. Dogfighting ring busted. 100 pit bulls seized. Thanks, Terry. But, yeah, I saw that last night. LaShawn Johnson. I'll tell you what. I remember when he was drafted by the Packers. And I remember him sitting in my... had him on for a Sunday night show. And he's sitting in my little sports office over at Channel 5. He goes, hey, can I use your phone? I'm like, sure. He goes, how do I get out? You know, dial 9, whatever. So he goes, hey, baby. How you doing? Good. Hey, listen, just want you to know I'm going to be on TV. Yeah. What channel? Channel 5. Yeah. What's your name? I'm going to be doing the show. Yeah, baby. All right. You going to watch? All right. All right. Talk to you later. Okay. Hangs up. Okay. Still use your phone. Yeah. Hey, baby. What are you doing?
That's awesome.
And don't lie. Yeah. You were just jealous of that whole situation. Oh, man.
I guarantee you one thing. I was sitting there in my typewriter, and I guarantee you my shoulders were like, I was laughing.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But yeah, he was always a little different. I remember a time he and LaShawn, well, maybe you were involved with this. The city fined him and Travis Jervey two times. One, because they kept baby lions in their dupe. Oh, I think it was Bellevue. They might have been in Bellevue. Kept baby lions. They had like baby tigers or something illegally. And then New Year's Eve, they went out and fired off guns in their neighborhood because that's where they grew up in the South. That's how you celebrated New Year's Eve. So am I shocked that this guy? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. What year was he here, John?
I'm going to say 94.
I wouldn't have been mayor until 2003.
95?
So. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's further back.
Yeah, it's further back.
But yeah.
That is funny when people, we've talked about this at work, maybe not here, but when people try to, as much as we want to be all-inclusive, you know, welcome, Green Bay, you know, open doors and all that stuff, when people bring their kind of cultures here, there's some stuff that's like crazy. It's like, no, we don't do that. And give you some examples off the air on that. But it's just...
Why keep it off the air, Jim?
But I just... And I can see those guys saying that. What is wrong with shooting guns off on New Year's Eve? We always do that. I can see them looking the cop right in the eye, being as honest as can be.
Is that a Southern thing?
I don't know. I don't know anything
about
it.
Well, I mean, having lived in Mississippi, I do remember some celebrations.
Right.
Where that would happen.
Oh, yeah.
Right. They're cheaper than fireworks. I don't know if it is or not.
Well, I know Jervey was from South Carolina and LaShawn was from Oklahoma or North Texas.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that kind of makes sense. Yeah.
We would never stereotype. But that makes sense. It makes sense.
All right. But you're right about that as far as people bringing certain cultures to whatever.
Yeah.
Happy Thursday. Did we mention that? We got a great show for you. Jacob Vandenplas, one of our great friends from DC Farm for Vets. They do phenomenal things. Gail and Kim Knorr, Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin. See how that's going. Get an update. Joe Ogle. This is kind of like a completely veterans. Go ahead and talk about that, Todd.
Well, we the 29th, I guess, is the 50th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. And so we have teamed with the folks at
and
the dispensary.
Vietnam Vets Day coming up this week.
That's right.
Saturday.
That's right. So we've teamed up with the folks at the dispensary, and you're going to be doing a bunch of vignettes over the next several months telling the story.
Recorded them yesterday.
Local Vietnam vets. And they're going to sponsor that on our station. So today we're kind of kicking it off and putting some service out there to the area vets.
Awesome. We got Jimmy Vandenhoevel. He's been here before, Vietnam vet, phenomenal spokesperson.
And just a very humble, quiet guy.
Absolutely.
I remember I told you that last when he was on. We worked together, and I didn't know half that
phenomenal
story.
Phenomenal electrician and everything.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, I still think he went through one of the scariest things.
He did.
Of all the people I've ever heard stories of in Vietnam, he went through one of the scariest things of all time, where he only had a few days left or whatever. So he said, listen, we're going on this one last mission. You want to just hang back? Just chill? He's like, really? They're like, yeah, just stay here. He goes, but you are coming back, right? Not a problem. We're just doing a quick mission. And something broke down or they got hit or something. And he was left by himself with no friendlies through the entire night, sitting there in that truck or on that truck or whatever with the Viet Cong all around.
Sound.
And him just said, he said he prayed.
He did.
Whether you're a believer or not of whatever you want. But he
all night
prayed.
Didn't sleep.
All night.
Yep.
Yes. And
that's
recited all the different verses. I mean, he just, think about that. It's 3 a.m. It's pitch black. It's all jungle around you. You're in enemy territory.
Yeah. I'm surprised you got that story out of him.
No.
You know what I mean? Because that's a very personal story. And he was so open about it. And I'm like, Jim, I've known you for, I don't know, 20 years. I never knew that. That was, yeah, I just think the world, I always did, but that's going to be great to talk to him again.
Yeah.
He's got to be in one of your books, right?
He's going to be my new one.
Okay, yeah.
He's going to be my new one.
He's a great one.
Todd, by the way.
Yeah.
Thank you for, you know that story that you printed for me yesterday?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 30
I thought you were going to say, thank you for praying for me. Thank you for printing
with that
for
too.
Me. Okay.
That's me.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
And Lord, please take care of Jim and Donna.
There you go.
Whatever you want to do with Milton, but
put us on your list.
Printing ain't cheap.
No.
So I came down yesterday. By the way, just so you know, I don't know who was here. Somebody left a note that door's open.
Yeah.
And the door was locked.
Yeah.
And nobody's here.
Yeah.
Okay. Just want you. I didn't know if something.
I probably left the note up. I do that in the morning now because we don't have a doorbell.
Okay. Yeah. But anyway, so I came. I thought maybe you were still here. Somebody make another copy. Nobody's here. So I took it to a professional printing place.
Yeah.
To print two copies, I think.
Yeah.
$14. $14.
I don't know if that sounds so bad.
No, I don't think
really?
It does either.
No.
A page?
No.
I'm just I mean, that's
like 30 pages, 60 pages. That's not bad.
Really?
Three cups of coffee? Come on.
$14?
John, when's the last time? I know that doesn't sound like a lot of money to me.
I don't think it's that bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Jim, can you do me a favor? Can you give me $14? Center break. Mine on air. Getting started. Back up.
I'm out in the middle of nowhere, driving through a night as black as coal. Seen a whole lot of highway.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, that's right. Happy Trucker Thursday! Is there anything better than a steel guitar?
No, I mean, I love that.
Love
it.
That's a good instrument.
I love it.
Love it.
This one's going out for Terry this morning. He requested a little Marty Stewart.
Nice.
Steel guitar.
He had the biggest hair. Remember Marty Stewart?
Oh, yeah.
He had the biggest hair.
It still does.
Does he?
He still has that.
It's gray now, right?
It's gray now. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
We got a thing here from Cowboy Dave. There's a great photo exhibit of Vietnam War pictures at the Mulva Center right now. Free to go in and look at them. Mm. I would like to do that.
Yeah.
I've never been in the Mulva Center.
Gotta go.
I know, right?
Yeah.
What's another place that you said you've never been? And I was like, don't tell them that. We just talked about that this week.
That I've never been?
And I was like, don't tell them that. And you did.
Frank's.
And then he tells him that.
I know. I said, well, don't tell him that. Frank, you know, I've never been in a Meyer Theater. Last time I saw you, it was at the SC Grand.
Which was a pretty cool setup they had out there.
That was good.
It was meals. You'd have the meal first. Yep. And it was kind of like that elevated seating in that one section.
Right. No, that was...
Myers, you know, he came and shut me down one time. I'm surprised you weren't at this event. So the SC Grand used to have, you know, they'd pull the big doors, and on one side you'd have the play or the, you know, whatever, and then the other side something. So it was a fundraiser for something, Jim. And the reason I'm surprised you weren't there, remember one of the fundraising things during the course of the thing was Dave Hansen and Mike Walsh arm wrestling. So the mayor of DePere and our local senator arm wrestling.
But again,
but anyway, Frank, literally during intermission, left his show in full gear. Okay, Johnny, can you keep it down? Man, you're overriding us.
Oh, you were doing that. Oh, I see. Yeah. You were in the other room promoting
that. I wonder if
he
remembers that. Yeah.
But that was before 2003. I mean, I didn't do any of that stuff.
Right around then? When was the SC Grand?
No, because Frank moved in. No.
Might have been in the 90s, actually, huh? Right. Yeah, it might have been like 98. Yeah,
John, you're getting older. You just had a birthday, man.
Oh, yeah, don't even get me started in that. I mean, there's so many times I think, hey, remember like 5 years ago when
it was like 12 or 13.
No. The one is like,
it could have been.
Isn't that crazy?
It is.
You always heard old people say that, and now it's like, wow, I'm that guy.
Yeah, we are.
I'm that guy.
Yeah.
Although, you know what? I was watching Dan Patrick. He's doing a big best of right now. He and I are 58 days apart in age. So he's still doing it. So I'm okay.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you think looks better, me or Dan Patrick?
That's what I was thinking. When you said that, that's what I was thinking.
Folks, quick poll.
I think he spent
a little
bit.
Who looks better, me or Dan Patrick?
I think he spent more on...
Looking better?
Cosmetic things? Yeah.
I think he's definitely had a little bit of nip and tuck.
No question.
So, or else it would be you, John.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, it sounded so sincere.
I know. Wasn't that passive aggressive, whatever they call that? Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay.
Hey, once again, it is Trucker Thursday, March 27th. Forecast is nice. Mostly sunny, 55 degrees. And enjoy the X, like I said, just with that forecast I saw last night. It looks nasty coming up this weekend with rain and snow and ice. And today is Theater Day. It is Whiskey Day. It is Viagra Day. It is Major League Baseball opening day. You know, Theater Day, I was just reading another thing about, I'm still fascinated by? When I was at the library the other day, picked up a book and started reading it for a while. The Lincoln assassination, that is still really fascinating. It wasn't just this one weird guy. It wasn't like a Lee Harvey Oswald, if in fact he was the only one. Do you know what I'm saying, though? It's like, that was such a big deal with the layers of people that conspired this. And the guy, how do you like this guy? Can you imagine this guy? It's like, what's your job tonight? My job is to sit in front of the door of the balcony where the president and the first lady are watching a play, and no one gets in. All right. John Wilkes Booth walks up. The guy's in the bar downstairs pounding it. It's like, wow, you're guarding the president and you're down in the bar drinking.
Well, you know that, and I'm sure you've read that thing on that coincidence between Kennedy and him. Right? There's just so many bookstores, theater bookstores.
It's really fascinating.
It really is. But those guys, those Secret Service guys were pretty lit up the night before for Kennedy.
For Kennedy. Yeah. They were at this club, this after hours club. And they were with, and you know what else? There were some Dallas Cowboys with them. Huh. And the Cowboys have always kind of like tried to, but it was kind of like a strip club, kind of whatever. And they were out till like the wee hours of the morning.
Yep.
And Mrs. Kennedy, after the assassination, somebody said something to her, but she said, don't you say a word to me. I could destroy every one of you and your organization for what the way you guys were that morning. Mm-hmm. They all showed up hungover like crazy.
They did. Yep.
I mean, I don't know if that would have prevented anything, but still.
Well, it may have, right?
It may have. But nobody was on their game that morning.
No.
And
nope.
You know, I remember that from you? Who taught us that, where I learned that? It was in high school civics. Our teacher was just like, he goes, you know, you guys realize what really happened that day? Because he lived it. I was much closer to it. But anyway, there's so many coincidentals. It's fun reading that stuff, too. It's like almost just scary how.
Well, and then there's also another thing. So the guy riding in the front passenger seat, you know, guy in his mid-60s, way overweight, but I'm on the Texas Ranger. I'm going to ride in the seat here. Or, you know what I mean? Shouldn't have been. They should have had a, you know, because if something like that happened, their job is to dive Right. Like it happened with Trump, even in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Reagan. Somebody,
but you're Reagan. You dive. That's your job.
Right.
That guy couldn't get over the seat to save his life.
He was got like Mino trying to open up his window.
Right. Same thing. Right. Exactly the same thing. When my car was locked, I got stuck trying to climb over the headrest.
Yeah. It was Keystone Cops.
Absolutely.
That whole thing.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
Yeah. But, those Secret Service guys, though, remember there was a thing a few years ago? They were with, was it Bush even or somebody in like South America? And they were with all these hookers and doing drugs and getting hammered. Remember that?
I do remember something like that.
Yeah.
That must be quite a, it's got to be a stressful job, first of all, right?
Yeah.
Kind of like air traffic controllers, because those guys and gals
so
can
when
party
they
as
do,
well.
Right.
They really let it go. But that's also, those guys got pretty big egos, don't you think?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Throwing their badge around. They can cut the lines.
I dealt with them when I did that thing when Bush came to town.
Right.
They asked me to introduce the thing and everything like that. And I was talking to those two guys and boy, they just thought they were so cool. But do you remember the time when we did the Jerry Vanese thing and I emceed it, you spoke?
Mm-hmm.
And sunny day and had glasses on, somebody said, John, you kind of look like a shorter version of a Secret Service guy. And I said, well, I'm protecting the mayor, so.
But those FBI guys, they do have a lot of authority. I mean, if the plane is sold out, they go up, show their badge, boom, they're on the plane.
Really?
I mean, they've got, you know, they have a lot of authority, but it's ego, I should say. But I think when they let loose, like some people in very stressful jobs, they really, really let loose.
Watch. You know what's going to happen? I'm going to get deported to Italy. Mind of America, great show for you. Stay with us.
So pull me another cup of coffee. Party is the best in the land. I'll put a quarter in the jukebox and play the truck driving man.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Investigation documents issued by the Appleton Police Department to a local television station show that inappropriate conversations took place between fired Xavier High School principal Mike Mouthy and a female student. Appleton Police began their investigation in November after the Diocese of Green Bay found the communications and was concerned about their content. There were over 200 emails between Mouthy and the girl. The Appleton Police Department concluded their investigation in January and filed no criminal charges. Water sports enthusiasts will have to find another place to ski, wakeboard, or participate in similar sports now that the Oshkosh Common Council voted unanimously to approve an ordinance amendment prohibiting those activities on the Fox River. Oshkosh Parks Director Ray Maurer told the Common Council Tuesday that the ordinance affects the entire Fox River through the city of Oshkosh, from its mouth by the Leach Amphitheater to Rainbow Park.
Anytime we have any ordinance change or anything that affects our boat launches, we will, we've got informational kiosks at each of the boat launches. We'll be posting that information, highlighting the amended ordinance. I will be also working with the local boat clubs, getting them information as well. And we'll work with the marinas throughout the areas. Social media posts as well will explain that.
The amendment is meant to improve safety and help reduce shoreline erosion. A Neenah police officer has been fired and accused of possession of child pornography. Police Chief Aaron Olson was given an Internet Crimes Against Children tip that identified Officer Owen Halls as a suspect. Olson turned all the information over to the Kaukauna Police Department, which then executed multiple search warrants. Halls has not been formally charged yet, but the department is recommending 2 counts of possession of child pornography. The investigation is continuing. I'm Lisa Hale for WGBW and WISS News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
It's the break into spring text to win statewide contest going on, and it's going on through next Friday right here on this local Civic Media radio station, and I'm talking about, of course, WGBW and WISS. It's a daily and chance to win Chula Vista getaways, Milwaukee Brewer club-level tickets, $100 cash. It could be you, and coming up this morning about 7 o'clock, John Mino and Jim Schmidt will have this hour's keyword, or next hour's keyword. Again, that's coming up at 7 o'clock this morning with Mino and the mayor, your chance to break into spring with WGBW and WISS. Once again, Mino and the Mayor, John Mino, and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. We're having a great day today. We're going to Trucker Thursday, of course, but we're also donating this day, or not donating this day. What am I sure? Honoring this day. Local veterans and all the different veterans organizations. And one of our absolutely favorite guys to come into the studio, Jacob Vandenplatz, D.C., Door County, Farm for Veterans. They do so many things. And again, it's like, okay, we're on the radio talking about stuff, and it's like we're cool, and we're so uncool. It's like you can't get less cool.
Right. We're reminded of that three times a morning.
Because every time somebody walks through a door and they say, because you and I will be like, what'd you do this morning? I got up.
I know. Yeah. So this guy shows up.
Yeah.
2 minutes late. He's all apologetic. Jake,
no, he's not late. He's early. 2 minutes early.
Well, you were actually, you were early.
True. He's all the way down from North County.
And we're like,
but wait, it's like, and I grabbed him. I'm like, what's your excuse, right, Jake?
And Jake, I have great excuses for being late, but you came up with,
it's
so true. It's
what did you do this morning?
Yeah.
We helped birth a sheep. I walked in and looked at the sheep. And
who didn't, huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's just,
okay, but what else did you do? Is that it? To me, that's Tuesday.
Yeah, I packed lunch. I still got to go to work yet today.
You pulled out a sheep.
So you birthed the sheep this morning. Did you, last night, were you with it? Or how does that work? I mean,
you kind of watch them. So typically when it starts getting into the lambing season, you want to separate the ewes from the rams. And we have a nursery set up in the barn. So there's lots of hay, and we're feeding them an alfalfa, which is a higher protein food, which helps with the birthing process. And you really got to watch them. If there is struggles and stuff like that, just like with humans, sometimes sheep, when they get a little bit older, there are some struggles. And you keep an eye on them, and you're never quite sure if you're having a single, or a twin, or a triplet. And they do the most part. And I can absolutely say to all the moms in the world, you guys are absolutely right.
I mean,
absolutely
God's
incredible.
Definitely,
you are remarkable.
Yeah. Were you? The reason I asked that, were you up all night? I mean, did
not last night.
Okay,
but there are times if a mom is struggling, you got to sit out in the barn and you watch and you wait.
Right.
Wow.
And
bless you.
They kind of do the most of it. They do the brunt of the work. We're just kind of the fail safe. If there's a breach, you got to glove up and lube up and get in and spin them, help spin them around if there's any issues. But the moms take care of the vast majority of it. And one of the important things, too, and why we keep them segregated and keep them inside, is actually the coyotes. So that the smell of the birth and the afterbirth and stuff like that, that's what actually gets out of the air, and that's when the coyotes start to show up.
Wow.
That wouldn't sit too well with me.
Do you get a pack? Yeah. Like,
I actually just took a video last night. They were right across the street, so they're definitely in the neighborhood. Yeah, they're definitely in the neighborhood.
They're when I was deer hunting this year, I was just breaking, it's okay, it started to get dusk, so you kind of wrap everything. And all of a sudden, I heard, and honestly, I thought there's another camp kind of across the road from us, deer camp. And I thought, hey, shut up. What are you guys, you can't, why are you being so loud out in the woods? I have a little respect for being out in the woods. And it was a pack of coyotes.
Oh, yeah, they're
loud.
And
I'd never heard them before. Yeah. And it sounds like somebody's having a party next door, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And that's what we ended up discovering. And And what you got to be careful of, and I've been asked this a dozen times, okay, can I come out and hunt the coyotes? Can I hunt the coyotes?
Right.
And actually, I say no. Yes, they are in the neighborhood, but coyotes, just like wolves, are actually very territorial. So as long as they are not directly actually messing with your livestock, don't touch them, because if you do go and shoot them, the pack that does come in might actually start messing with them. So we do have all the fences. We've got a couple of great Pyrenees that kind of walk the property.
It's
and kind stuff
of the
like
gangsta.
That.
Yeah. You mess with one of ours.
You mess with one of ours. And if you do eradicate it, the next pack that moves in, if you do take them out, could start actually messing with it. So
what did you say walks the property?
We've got great livestock guardian dogs.
What are they?
Oh, they're big, like small polar bears.
Really? I've never heard of this.
Yeah. They're big and fluffy. So we've got Kingsley.
What did you
Little
say
Gun.
The name of them was?
Great Pyrenees. Great Pyrenees. Yeah.
You ever hear them?
Mm-hmm. They're very territorial.
Okay, so what do they do? I mean, do they alert you, or do they actually take on a coyote?
Oh, they'll take on a pack of wolves.
What?
Oh, absolutely. So these dogs are actually put directly in with your livestock, and they kind of sit there, and they guard the stock. You can also use donkeys. Donkeys are actually really, really amazing for livestock guardians as well.
Are you serious?
Oh, big time. Absolutely. That's the whole term. The whole term ass comes in, because they will kick some ass.
Wow.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what?
I didn't
know 641, that. And I'm learning more things the last 2 minutes than I've ever known in my school life. Wow. Tell me more about these dogs.
Well, we have them primarily inside, but just having them on the property, and we'll take them for walks, and we walk them around the property. Just having the scent there on the property.
Okay.
even with deer, when it comes to deer, we'll actually brush them out because they're big and fluffy. They got multiple layers and they're just like huskies. They can stay outside in all the elements, and they actually have a big thick pouch underneath their neck. So even if a wolf or a coyote tries to grab them by their neck, that's not going to do any damage to them.
I will say this though. Okay, you talk about those scents that you don't.
Right.
Bud up at the zoo, we have the big wolf compound type thing, and he said people have asked for dirt from the wolf compound to put around their gardens because deer will not go near it.
And that's all I was going to ask about. So, are the wolves afraid of this dog, or is the dog? You know what I'm saying? Like, do they sense that?
Nah, if they're hungry enough, they'll still show up and they'll test it.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, they'll still show up and test.
And you think the dog would win?
If you get one dog against a couple of wolves, oh, yeah. They'll stand and fight.
Talk to those guys we were talking about earlier,
John. I got to call with Sean Johnson. We got a whole new game.
Now, mind you, a good full-grown Great Pyrenees dog, I think a big one, is rolling at about 130 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Pounds.
So what is Milton weigh?
75.
I think you should 72. Train Milton to do that.
He's afraid of.
I think Milton could take on a wolf.
Never. He would take on a rabbit. No, he's pretty skittish.
We got baby rabbits born last night too, so we got two new litters of rabbits. I don't know how many are in the second because she balls them up in the little nest inside the little nesting box. But our first litter of rabbits, the mama gave birth to 10 little babies.
Nice.
Yep. Wow, you had quite the 24 hours.
It's definitely been intense.
It's this time of year.
It's the season. Right. And I just actually got back from Madison late last night, too. I spent down there for Egg Day at the Capitol.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's good that they honor you guys.
We're with Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farm for Vets. I know we got to talk about that. Something else we're talking right before we went on the air that I've always been fascinated with. I've never done it, but I've enjoyed the fruits of your labor. You're making your own maple syrup.
Oh, yes. We're very excited for that. And this Saturday, starting around noon, we're actually going to be putting out, hopefully the weather holds tight for us, but we're actually going to be boiling down a bunch of maple syrup. And
you have like a big cauldron or something?
Oh, yeah. We got a big cauldron and we got an old maple syrup. The cauldron, I actually got two burners. I've got my old burner and then one I creatively acquired from my dad.
Okay.
From the one that we used years and years ago when I was growing up. But you basically put it over a fire, start a fire underneath it, and start steaming it off. So we're going to get a bunch of it burnt down, and we do about 5 gallons an hour, and we can go through a 55-gallon barrel in about an eight-hour period.
Wow.
I don't think people realize what a family tradition maple syrup is. Yeah. I was telling you about my friend that does it.
My buddy Chuck Wellens, a Vietnam vet, he's taking his kids out in the backyard yesterday. Fantastic.
It's always like, you know, the deer hunting camp. That's a traditional family thing.
That's so cool.
Either you do it or you don't, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
So do you... Are you in this with the family? You talked about your dad's cauldron.
Yep. So this is something my dad did. We did way, way back, and probably 25, 30 years ago. And then I brought it back forth with my boys, and we get to do it again this weekend.
Give me a look. You know what, Jake? Let's back up here because we could talk. You fascinate us. I mean, we want to be you, and we're not.
But learning every word.
Yeah, give us your background and everything all the way across the board, if you don't mind. Here.
Sure. Yeah. So
Jake, and why we have you on this show, which we enjoy having you on, but there's also a purpose to it.
Yep. So my mainstay, I spent 13 years in the Wisconsin Army National Guard and actually deployed out of Bravo Company here, Delta Company, or started with Delta Company to the 127, deployed with Bravo Company. Spent 13
black
years.
Black sheep.
And that's what was born last night, was a black sheep.
Oh, no kidding.
Absolutely.
Well, that's kind of ironic.
Yeah, one of the rams we have, his name is Sir Lancelot, great big black Katahdin and Texel mixed sheep, and he's got a great big beard just like me. He's my favorite.
Wow.
So we keep him around, but... I struggled tremendously when I came home. Struggled for about a decade and found refuge in growing. So
I don't want to dig too deep, but struggling, people might think you struggled like financially, but it was much deeper than that.
Oh, much deeper. Yeah. Post-traumatic stress disorder is no joke. Mental health is huge. Even when I spent the last 2 days down for Egg Days in the Capitol, that came up repeatedly over and over again. Even resources for mental health for farmers. So we talk a lot about veteran suicide, but there's not a lot of conversations about suicide with farmers.
I've never heard that in my life.
It's those numbers are up there just right with veterans.
But you know, I told you I watched that movie Green and Gold.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
Filmed around here in Door County, obviously up in the farms in Door County. And you know, it kind of hit on that. That was in the early mid 90s when farms were really struggling and all those sorts of things.
Farm crisis.
Yeah, the farm crisis, and you know that's what he was going through.
Yep.
And you know, when you think about that, you know, if we don't get the right rain,
our family farm might be gone, or that the stress, the pressure.
Think of the pressure on just thinking about dad and grandpa.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're talking about multi-
stress. Like,
yeah.
You lose your business. You started it. You lost it. It's like, oh, that's
apply somewhere else. Right. Apply for a new job.
But yep. You're taking not just, you're taking the family down.
You're taking the family
down.
But
you feel like you're taking the family down. You're not.
And that's a lot of pressure. And sometimes you're talking like legacy farms where you're talking third and fourth generation properties that have been in the family since the turn of the century. That's a lot of pressure. And one of the biggest things that we do, especially on Ag Day down at the Capitol, is we get the opportunity to actually sit and speak with our legislators. Because there's a lot of times they just need to know where we're coming from. Just even having those conversations are critical. And that goes across the board. But having that opportunity was absolutely beneficial to cross a lot of bridges. But
that Ag Day, that's a big deal when you go down to the Capitol. I've done it for other associations.
Oh, yeah. I actually went there to cover a story one time. There's people from all over the world there.
They had a big sprayer parked right outside of the Capitol. Right. It was awesome.
And they were receptive? Good. I mean, that's good that they listened to you. I was going to ask, did you go with an agenda? Like, is there one or two things that you really, really need? Or was it just more, this is what life is like?
The two biggest topics that we really helped push on was some legislation called ARIP, which was legislation specifically for rural roads.
Okay.
They first put that together, and I think they passed, it was like $150 million to redo rural roads, specifically to help transport products and goods. And that $150 million, if I remember correctly, was opened up the door for an additional $1.2 billion of commodities to go back out into the public. So the return on investment with those tax dollars was remarkable.
All right. We got to set a really quick break. Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farm for Vets, cooler than anybody else in the room. And you know what?
No argument here, Jake.
In anybody's room. Because our bar is pretty low, I got to be honest. In fact, it's laying in the corner.
Jake's like, of course I am.
That's how low our bar is. I kicked and I tripped it on the way in. Back after this. In Atlanta, and there's beer in Texarkana, and we'll bring it back no matter
what it takes. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. We're with one of our favorite people, Jacob Vandenplas, here on Trucker Thursday at Mind on the Mirror, 97.9 FM WGBW, 98.3, 96.5 FM WISS. And of course, the Civic Media Apple. Jake, once again, let's just talk about some of the things, how you weave together. Weave together your experiences in the military, dealing with post-traumatic stress, having so many acquaintances, friends dealing with that, and how you took your lifetime passion of farming. And like Jim just said, wow, you got to be like a spokesperson for farmers.
And you just got elected to represent other.
Yeah. So that means, and you're putting it all together.
Right.
So I did get elected to the Door County Farm Bureau Board, which is an organization that advocates and promotes agriculture within Door County. There's also a state board, and being elected to the county board, I actually got asked to sit on the VFA committee. For the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, and I was also asked to sit on the strategic planning committee at the state level to actually outline the plan for the Wisconsin Farm Bureau for the next 5 years.
It's a heavy responsibility.
Why you should feel so good about that, I'm so proud of you for that, is that's a big part of Door County.
It's not a huge part.
Elected to the fast food in Door County. They don't have any fast food restaurants. I mean, they have very few, but you're being elected to something that is
the lifeblood.
It is.
So we're talking farmers, truckers, and veterans are the lifeblood of the country. And I get to partake in actually all three. So I actually even have to go to work today. I'm driving propane trucks. So I get to be a truck driver, a farmer, and a veteran.
Man, I wish I was you.
And a veterinarian.
It's an adventure.
I just wish I had more muscle than him. You know what I mean?
We actually started going back to the gym.
It's too late.
My son to the gym.
Yeah, you're looking
morning.
Pretty feeble.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, but it was a tremendous honor to be a part of all this, and it's very, very important. And just to bring awareness to a lot of the issues. So when we start talking about a lot of the environmental issues that we're facing here in this country, farmers are the biggest conservationists that you're going to find. Okay, that's their lifeblood. We take care of the land. We want to take care of the land. We want the education to be able to take the best care of it. Yeah, because that is our livelihood. There's a lot of stuff that comes about, like the liquid manure and stuff like that. So when we do end up in like Door County and we do have a bunch of farms, there's not always an understanding of the job and the role of farmers. There are some municipalities within the state of Wisconsin that the Farm Bureau has been working with to try to squash like hours of operations for farms. Farmers can't have hours of operations. You work when the work's got to get done. So there's some issues and stuff like that. Water quality issues is a huge thing for farmers. And there's a lot of times the farmers get attacked for those water issues. So crossing that bridge and having those conversations and being able to bridge that gap of understanding between what happens on the farm and those daily tasks that need to happen and what needs to function and a lot of the environmental issues, we're able to cross that bridge.
Awesome. Well, let's talk about some of the great projects you got coming up.
Oh, we got lots of fun stuff going on. This Saturday, we're actually boiling off maple syrup. It's a family tradition that we're continuing on. Very, very excited for that. So everyone's invited over. Start around noon. Hopefully the rain holds off, but we will have some tents set up if it doesn't.
All right, so where do we meet for that?
Right in my front yard.
I know.
Address is 6418 Vignes Road. If Google Maps sends you the wrong direction, it has been doing that for folks. But we're on the corner of County S and Vignes. Just look for the greenhouses. Well, there's only one left. We got four greenhouses, and the wind has taken out three so far this
spring.
Yeah, it's been ripping up there pretty hard.
Wow. Okay, tell us more about the Freedom Gardens.
Oh, yeah, the Victory Gardens.
Oh, I'm sorry, Victory Gardens.
Yep. So there's actually the Victory Gardens go, there's a lot of history to them. It goes all the way back to World War I and more prominently in World War II. There were so many people deployed overseas that the food service system in the United States of America actually broke down. So the government actually put together a pamphlet called the Victory Garden. It outlined all the secession planting and all the tools and stuff you need, and it was your patriotic duty to help support the war by growing a Victory Garden in your backyard. So we are bringing the Victory Gardens back, and we have 9 veterans officially lined up that have turned in their equipment list that we're going to get actual gardens set up in their backyard.
Awesome.
So we're setting them up with a tiller. We're setting them up with an entire irrigation system along with the fertilization tank and the timers and all the tools to be successful, also with the pressure canner. In the mason jar, so we can teach them how to can.
And those are pretty serious gardens, those Victory Gardens. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not like a raised flower bed. Like a lot of people. I mean, what's the size? I remember
The traditional Victory Garden is 25 by 50 feet, and it doesn't have to be that large. We're going to scale this to whatever you can in your backyard, and we're going to teach you how to grow. We're going to teach you how to cultivate. And the importance of helping set up with all these tools, are they necessary? No, you can do it without all these fancy tools. But we want them to have these fancy tools for two reasons. One, a lot of these folks are coming back with service-connected physical issues and can't. So a lot of these tools are to help support with that. Also, life is busy, okay? And these tools are going to help save time and help be efficient with management of the garden and management of the weeds and stuff like that. And we also teach them the succession planting. So there's some crops that are only like 30 days to harvest. So if you're growing radishes, that's 30 days from the time you plant to the time you can harvest is about 30 days. Well, that leaves you a whole lot of time to still plant something back in that same space. That also helps that you don't plant your garden and then come August, all of your produce dumps on you in one time. You can actually plan that out so it's not so cumbersome. So we're going to walk them through from the start to the finish. We partnered up with the Door County Seed Library, and they're going to hook us up with a bunch of seeds. Sounds like we're going to get hooked up from Uline, at least with a discount on the mason jars. So we're going to help teach canning and stuff like that as well.
Wow. That's awesome.
Phenomenal. Just Jake, we want to have you on a regular basis.
We can do that.
I'd like that because this is more of an ongoing type thing, what you're doing.
Right. And Jake, we all have representatives in Madison. And I think if we can talk about letter writing or calling you and say, look, support your issues. Yep. You talked about the one major issue, the roads. And I think whether you're a farmer or not, we like good roads. So yeah,
there's that. And then we also are pushing real hard for health insurance for farmers.
Great.
Because statistically right now, when it comes to farm families, one of the families has to actually work off farm just for health insurance.
Okay.
Wow.
Those are good, great issues. I want to support that.
Okay. Jake Vandenplas, Door County Farms for Veterans. Tremendous organization. We're going to talk more about this stuff down the road here about what you got coming on all year. We want you to be a regular here, okay?
We can do that.
You're the man. Jacob Vandenplas. Coming up next, Gail and Kim Knorr, Veterans First of Northeast Wisconsin.
Peggy Ann is awaiting in Memphis.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.